This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of orthotics from the foot and ankle section on orthobullets.com. Orthotics play an important role in non-operative treatment of foot and ankle pathology. They provide soft tissue protection, bone/joint stability, and control of body segment motion. As far as uses of orthotics, they can offload areas of high pressure and decrease shear forces. They can cushion vulnerable soft tissue sites, for example, in diabetics. They can correct flexible deformities and accommodate rigid deformities, for example, in the setting of pes plano valgus. They can eliminate painful motion, for example, in the setting of hallux rigidus. And they can replace lost motion as well as improve gait and ambulation, for example, in the setting of an ankle fusion. As far as options for orthotics, the things to consider include type of stabilization, the material, and the body region. As far as type of stabilization, you can have static stabilization, dynamic stabilization, or a combination. Static stabilization involves a rigid device that supports the body segment in a fixed position. Dynamic stabilization involves a mobile device that permits body segment motion. Different materials include metal, plastic, leather, and synthetic fabric. As far as the body region, orthotics are named for the joints that are controlled. For example, ankle and foot is an ankle-foot orthosis, otherwise known as an AFO. Some principles to understand include patient-related principles and orthotic-related principles. Patient-related principles include soft tissue, functional level of the patient, as well as the pathology being addressed. Patient-related soft tissue principles include soft tissues at risk, for example, in the setting of diabetics, as well as soft tissues that are tolerant to compression and shear forces. As far as the functional level of the patient, keep in mind that the orthotic should match the functional level of the patient. Finally, as far as the pathology being addressed, things to consider include soft tissue conditions, a flexible or rigid deformity, painful motion, as well as weakness/loss of function. Orthotic-related principles include a three-point pressure control system, the orthotic should be aligned at the approximate anatomic joint, and the design should be simple, and the orthotic should be easy to put on and take off. The orthotic should be lightweight, durable, as well as aesthetically acceptable. Now let's go over foot orthoses in a bit more detail. And we'll go over different types of shoes and different type of foot orthoses, such as inserts and inlays. Shoes are a type of orthosis, and they can be modified to correct or accommodate deformity, minimize painful motion, and optimize gait mechanics. As far as shoe selection, the things to consider include an extra depth shoe, a stiff supportive shoe, soft accommodating shoe with shock-absorbing sole, such as running shoe, and custom shoes. An extra depth shoe has additional space that allows for placement of a foot orthosis and can accommodate foot deformity. A stiff supportive shoe can be used for a flexible foot, for example, in a flexible pes plano valgus. A soft accommodating shoe with a shock-absorbing sole, such as a running shoe, should be used for a rigid, bony foot. Finally, a custom shoe can be used in cases of severe deformity, for example, in the setting of a Charcot foot. Now let's go over some different types of shoe modifications. Shoe modifications can be internal, that is, placed inside the shoe, or external, which is built up outside the shoe. Internal modifications are more mechanically effective but have reduced space in the shoe. External modifications preserve shoe volume but affect cosmesis and are more prone to wear. Specific shoe modifications can modify the heel, the sole, or both. As far as adjustable closures, you can have laces, elastic laces, or Velcro. Keep in mind that high-top lace-up sneakers may help patients with poor distal proprioception. This provides feedback more proximally to help with balance. As far as sole excavation and padding, excavation makes room for bony prominences. Padding cushions painful sites, for example, metatarsal pads, toe crests, and scaphoid pads. As far as a cushioned heel, this is a soft pad with a compressible material that cushions the heel. This is helpful for painful heel pad atrophy. Flares are material added to the external medial or lateral shoe. This provides a wider base of support and increases medial lateral stability. This is useful for ankle instability. Keep in mind that a lateral flare resists inversion, while a medial flare resists eversion. Wedges can be internal or external. It can involve the sole, the heel, or both. A lateral sole wedge is useful for pes cavo varus with a fixed forefoot pronation, allowing the entire forefoot to reach the ground without compensatory hindfoot varus. Again, a lateral sole wedge is useful for pes cavo varus with fixed forefoot pronation, allowing the entire forefoot to reach the ground without compensatory hindfoot varus. A medial wedge is useful for flexible pes plano valgus, or posterior tibial tendon dysfunction, as it corrects hindfoot valgus. Again, a medial wedge is useful for flexible pes plano valgus, or posterior tibial tendon dysfunction, as it corrects hindfoot valgus. Heel wedges are useful for fixed varus slash valgus knee deformity. A lateral heel wedge unloads the medial compartment of the knee. Again, a lateral heel wedge unloads the medial compartment of the knee. A heel lift is useful for Aquinas deformity or leg length discrepancy. Again, a heel lift is useful for Aquinas deformity or leg length discrepancy. Now let's talk a bit about rocker soles, which help transfer body weight forward. Keep in mind that rocker soles can destabilize the knee by transferring body weight forward rapidly, so pay careful attention when prescribing to patients with balance or proprioception issues. Types of rocker soles include a mild rocker, a heel-to-toe rocker, a toe-only rocker, severe angle rocker, a negative heel rocker, and a double rocker. A mild rocker is the most common and has a mild angle at the toe and the heel. This relieves metatarsal head pressure and assists with forward propulsion. A heel-to-toe rocker is more angled at the toe and the heel. It reduces pressure at heel strike, and there is need for ankle motion. This is useful for patients with ankle or subtalar arthritis or fusion, midfoot amputation, or calcaneal ulcers. Again, a heel-to-toe rocker is useful for patients with ankle or subtalar arthritis or fusion, midfoot amputation, or calcaneal ulcers. A toe-only rocker is angled at the toe and increases weight-bearing proximal to the metatarsal heads. A severe angle rocker is more angled at the toe. It further decreases pressure distal to the metatarsal heads and is useful for relief of metatarsal head or toe tip ulcerations. Again, a severe angle rocker is useful for relief of metatarsal head or toe tip ulcerations. A negative heel rocker is angled at the toe and midfoot with heel height lower than that of the sole. It's useful to accommodate fixed dorsiflexion deformity. Again, a negative heel rocker is useful to accommodate fixed dorsiflexion deformity. Finally, a double rocker has two shorter rocker soles centered over the forefoot and hindfoot. This reduces pressure at the midfoot and is useful for midfoot prominences, such as in the setting of a Charcot foot. An extended shank is embedded between the layers of the sole and can be a carbon fiber or steel extended shank. An extended shank functions as a splint to reduce forefoot and or midfoot motion. It is useful for hallux rigidus, for example, a Morton's carbon fiber extension, and it's also useful for midfoot arthritis. Now let's talk a bit about foot orthoses like inserts slash inlays. A heel cup is a rigid plastic insert, and it covers the plantar surface of the heel and extends posteriorly, medially, and laterally. A heel cup is useful to prevent lateral calcaneal shift in flexible pes plano valgus. A University of California Biomechanics Laboratory, or UCBL, orthosis is constructed with a rigid plastic over a cast of the foot held in maximum manual correction. It includes the heel and midfoot with a rigid medial, lateral, and posterior walls. It holds the heel in a vertical neutral position and is designed for flexible pes plano valgus. If the deformity is rigid, the UCBL will become painful and could lead to skin breakdown. A longitudinal arch support can be applied medially or laterally. It prevents depression of the subtalar joint and corrects for pes planus. Now let's talk about ankle orthoses in a bit more detail. So an Arizona brace is a combination of a UCBL and a lace-up ankle support. It's useful for a flexible pes plano valgus and provides more rigid hindfoot support. Now let's go over an ankle-foot orthosis, or AFO, in a bit more detail. We'll talk about construction, indications, types, as well as specific designs. As far as the construction of an ankle-foot orthosis, it's composed of a foot plate, calf support, and a calf band. It can be made of plastic, metal, and leather. As far as indications, an AFO will correct or prevent ankle deformity by assisting in muscular weakness or overactivity involving ankle dorsiflexion, plantar flexion, inversion, or eversion. Ankle position indirectly affects knee stability with ankle plantar flexion providing a knee extension force and ankle dorsiflexion providing a knee flexion force. As far as types of ankle-foot orthosis, this is divided broadly into non-articulating and articulating ankle-foot orthoses. So non-articulating AFOs are more aesthetically pleasing. They're constructed of plastic, composite materials, or leather and metal. A non-articulating AFO functionally places a flexion force on the knee during weight acceptance because they are positioned in neutral ankle position. Non-articulating AFOs do not allow gradual eccentric plantar flexion in early stance. The trim lines of plastic AFOs determine the degree of flexibility in the late stance phase. They're described as having maximal, moderate, or minimal resistance to ankle dorsiflexion. Articulating AFOs are mechanical ankle joints that control or assist ankle dorsiflexion or plantar flexion by means of stops or assists. They also control medial lateral stability of the ankle joint. Keep in mind that articulating AFOs have limits on ankle motion that affect knee stability. Unrestricted plantar flexion allows normal weight acceptance in early stance. Plantar flexion causes a knee flexion moment during weight acceptance, and a dorsiflexion stop provides a knee extension moment during late stance. Now let's go over some specific designs for AFOs. We'll go over posterior leaf spring, or PLS AFO, solid AFO, hinged AFO, ground reaction AFO, patellar tendon bearing AFO, immobilization AFO, for example, a cam walker, free motion ankle joint, plantar flexion ankle joint stop, dorsiflexion ankle joint stop, limited motion ankle joint stop, dorsiflexion assist spring joint, varus valgus correction straps or T-straps, and supramalleolar orthoses or SMO. So a posterior leaf spring or PLS AFO is the most common AFO. It has a narrow calf shell and a narrow ankle trim line behind the malleoli. It is used for compensating weak ankle dorsiflexors and resisting ankle plantar flexion. Keep in mind that there is no medial lateral control in a posterior leaf spring or PLS AFO. PLS AFOs are useful for foot drop. A solid AFO has a wider calf shell with a trim line anterior to the malleoli. It prevents plantar flexion as well as varus/valgus deviation. With respect to a hinged AFO, these have adjustable ankle hinges that can be set to the desired range of ankle dorsiflexion or plantar flexion, which are fixed. A hinged AFO limits motion for multiplanar ankle instability or ankle pain. It's also useful for spina bifida patients with mid-lumbar level function. As far as ground reaction AFOs, the plastic extends proximally over the pretibial area and the distal trim line extends to the forefoot. This provides maximal resistance to plantar flexion and encourages knee extension. A ground reaction AFO is useful for cerebral palsy patients with incompetent or overly lengthened triceps surae and mild crouch gait. Again, a ground reaction AFO is useful for cerebral palsy patients with incompetent or overly lengthened triceps surae and mild crouch gait. A patellar tendon bearing AFO allows weight distribution to the patellar shelf and reduces weight-bearing forces through the foot. An immobilization AFO, for example, a cam walker, is a simple off-the-shelf AFO. It is basically removable protection for lower extremity injuries that require immobilization but permit weight-bearing with casting being unnecessary. Cam walkers can be used in the setting of ankle sprains, stable ankle fractures, and/or Achilles ruptures. A free-motion ankle joint AFO has unrestricted ankle dorsiflexion and plantar flexion. Unrestricted dorsiflexion allows calf muscle strengthening and stretching of the plantar flexors. For example, this is used in the setting of an Achilles tendon rupture. A free motion ankle joint AFO has unrestricted plantar flexion that allows normal weight acceptance in early stance. Free motion ankle joint AFOs provide only medial lateral stability and are useful in the setting of ankle ligamentous instability. Plantar flexion ankle joint stops restrict plantar flexion but allows unrestricted dorsiflexion. They also provide a knee flexion moment during weight acceptance. Keep in mind that these should not be used in patients with quadriceps weakness. A plantar flexion ankle joint stop is useful for patients with foot drop during swing phase and flexible pes equinus. Again, a plantar flexion ankle joint stop is useful for patients with foot drop during the swing phase and flexible pes equinus. A dorsiflexion ankle joint stop resists dorsiflexion but allows unrestricted plantar flexion. It promotes a knee extension moment during the loading response. Keep in mind that this prevents buckling of the knee in the stance phase in the presence of quadriceps or plantar flexion weakness. A dorsiflexion ankle joint stop is useful for patients with weakness of plantar flexion during stance. Again, a dorsiflexion ankle joint stop is useful for patients with weakness of plantar flexion during stance. A limited motion ankle joint stop resists both dorsiflexion and plantar flexion. It's useful for global weakness of muscles around the ankle joint. A dorsiflexion assist spring joint is a coil spring in the posterior channel. It counteracts plantar flexion and aids dynamic dorsiflexion during swing phase. It's useful for dorsiflexion weakness with preserved ankle motion. A varus valgus correction strap or a T-strap is a strap that contacts the skin medially and is buckled to the lateral upright that is used for valgus correction. There's also a strap attached laterally and buckled on the medial upright, which is used for varus correction. Finally, a supramalleolar orthosis or an SMO is the shortest of the AFOs, ending right above the malleoli. It controls varus/valgus and supports the heel in neutral vertical position. It's useful for flexible pes planus, planovalgus, and hyperpronated foot. Now let's finish this review session talking about knee orthoses. We'll talk about the construction, indication, and specific designs for a knee ankle foot orthosis or a KFO. As far as construction, this consists of an AFO with medial uprights, a mechanical knee joint, and two thigh bands. They can be made of metal, plastic, and leather. The quadrilateral or ischial containment brim limits the weight bearing of the thigh, leg, and foot. Indications for a KFO include quadriceps weakness or paralysis to maintain knee stability, flexible genu varum or valgum. Keep in mind that they are more difficult to place and remove than AFOs, and they are not recommended for patients with moderate to severe cognitive dysfunction. Specific designs to know include a double upright metal KFO, as well as a Scott Craig orthosis. A double upright metal KFO is the most common. It's an AFO with two metal uprights extending proximally to the thigh to control knee motion and alignment, and consists of a mechanical knee joint and two thigh bands between the two uprights. A Scott Craig orthosis is a cushioned heel with a T-shaped foot plate and medial lateral stability. It has an ankle joint with anterior and posterior adjustable stops, double uprights, a pre-tibial band, and posterior thigh band. The knee joint has Powell locks and Bale control. Hip hyperextension allows the center of gravity to fall behind the hip joint and in front of the locked knee and ankle joints. Keep in mind that with 10 degrees of ankle dorsiflexion alignment, a swing to or swing through gait with crutches is possible. A Scott Craig orthosis is used for standing and ambulation in patients with paraplegia from a spinal cord injury. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over one quick question to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. A 57-year-old male had an ankle arthrodesis with screws. He is currently complaining of gait issues. Which of the following devices may be ordered to improve his gait? And the choices are 1, an Arizona brace, 2, a rocker bottom sole, 3, a rigid ankle foot orthosis or AFO, 4, a hinged AFO, and 5, a carbon fiber insert with a Morton's extension. The correct answer to this question is 2, a rocker bottom sole. So the patient had an ankle arthrodesis performed. The dorsiflexion/plantar flexion of the ankle may be mimicked with a rocker bottom shoe. To quickly review, arthrodesis of the ankle may be detrimental to maintaining a normal gait pattern. Compared to normal walking, ankle arthrodesis has been reported to result in an estimated 9 to 15% increase in metabolic energy expenditure. To restore walking function, a rocker bottom sole is usually prescribed. They have been found to redistribute plantar foot pressures, improve gait kinematics, and functional performance. Vanderpool et al. Performed a study to test whether the metabolic energy cost of walking with the ankles immobilized can be comparable to normal walking. They measured oxygen consumption, kinematics, and ground reaction forces in 6 volunteers. Ankle fixation with walking boots caused the total rate of energy expenditure for walking to increase by 4.1% compared to normal, but differed by an insignificant amount compared to walking with equivalent ankle weight. They conclude that with a lightweight apparatus and curved rocker bottom surface, loss of ankle motion does not increase energy expenditure for walking. Van Shi et al. Tested 9 different rigid rocker shoe designs in 17 symptom-free male subjects and compared them with the control condition of a flexible, non-rockered, extra-depth shoe with the same flat insole. They found that peak pressure was reduced at most forefoot locations by rocker shoes, but increased in the midfoot and heel. Most configurations of the rocker shoes were superior to the control shoe, but no single configuration was optimal. They conclude that gait training should be performed to ensure the correct use of the shoe. To quickly go over the incorrect answers, answer 1, an Arizona brace is incorrect, as an Arizona brace is meant to immobilize the ankle, and it may be used in the conservative treatment of ankle arthritis. Answer 3, a rigid ankle foot orthosis, and ankle 4, a hinged ankle foot orthosis, are incorrect, as these also immobilize the ankle, and they have many uses, including the treatment of a drop foot. And finally, answer 5, a carbon fiber insert with a Morton's extension is incorrect, as a carbon fiber insert with a Morton's extension would not improve gait. It is used in the conservative treatment of hallux rigidus. That's all for this review about orthotics. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.